Third and final hour, Robbie and Rex Show here, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Joe Rex Show, Junior Riddle in for Robbie Stanley, Michelle Knezovic. And as we do every week at this time, we're very excited to welcome in our good friend, Charles Robinson, talking NFL. There's a lot to talk about today. Charles, birthday boy, Charles Robinson.
Happy birthday, Charles.
I mean, not today, but recently. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well. Just getting older and fatter.
Yeah, well, you don't need to tell me about that. All right, well, let's get right into the Titans, because around here, Charles, that, you know, all it takes is a Daniel Jeremiah to throw out a little bit of I heard about, you know, maybe a little Titans. And obviously when these things happen, you wonder, where'd they come from? Is there an ulterior motive? You know, or is there something to it? Your view of the idea that the Titans might actually be interested in moving up to 3 and taking a quarterback?
Well, Daniel's hearing it from general managers. Okay, so we can just start there. How this usually happens, so just to kind of give people a peek into the inside baseball of something like that gets rolled out, is when you're a draft analyst or really anybody and you're working on draft, you end up talking to a lot of general managers about players and trying to understand who's interested in who. And more often than not, the way you find out who's interested in what is you will hear, oh, well, actually, this team is trying to find a potential landing spot for this player they already have. So that player would be Ryan Tannehill. That's where this comes from. You say, well, how would he know that, where would this start, that the Titans are interested in a quarterback? Well, usually that comes out not because the Titans call around telling people they're interested in a quarterback. They call around asking, are you interested in Ryan Tannehill? Doesn't necessarily mean they're shopping him. It's more of a pocket listing. You're trying to figure out, hey, if there's a quarterback there we like, if we can either move for a quarterback, someone slips that we like and we can trade and get in the right range, do we have a spot to potentially lay off the current starter that we have, who would no longer factor into our plans? Because if you draft a quarterback and then try to move Ryan Tannehill after, you've lost any leverage you have whatsoever. So what you do is before the draft, you start figuring out, are there landing spots if this ultimately works out? Doesn't mean that they're absolutely committed to Ryan Tannehill. It just means that they're trying to figure out if the draft goes their way and the players that they might like at the quarterback position become available, now they know the avenues they have to operate. So I do think that the Titans absolutely have done their homework on quarterbacks in this draft. I would have no doubt whatsoever, particularly among the top 4 or 5, that they have a couple that they would be interested in. And I think that they've spoken to other NFL teams and asked the question, hey, would you have any interest in Ryan Tannehill, just to do their due diligence and know exactly how this could all unfold for them on draft day. So that's really where that comes from. I do think that, again, that the Titans are trying to figure out if Ryan Tannehill can be dealt to another team. And, you know, that's all in preparation to see what ultimately happens with this quarterback class. Because I think there's a chance that of those, we'll call them the big 4, I do think Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, I doubt, slip enough to factor. I think Anthony Richardson could. I think Will Levis definitely could. And then you're talking about a team in the Tennessee Titans at 11 that might have an opportunity at one of those players at 11 or might have an opportunity at one of those players even further than 11, meaning they could trade back and maybe select a quarterback. They could even decide, hey, we'll trade back in to the first round if a player slides far enough. Lot of options potentially there. And then, you know, Hendon Hooker is another player that is – interestingly enough, you know, I would be shocked at this point if he's not somewhere in that first round mix. It just sort of depends on what teams 20 and on have that need and are willing to bring him in. And really, you got to kind of make him a starter sooner than later because of the age.
Okay, well, let's follow up on Hendon Hooker because, you know, he is one of the Titans' 30 visits.
Right.
I mean, look, to me, if the Titans are like, this is the guy, what would be wrong with Hendon Hooker at 11? I mean, I think, obviously, in mock draft land, that is just an absolute crime. How could he go that high? But I wonder about that. And I want to throw this in there, too, Charles. This idea of the Texans not taking a quarterback. I mean, how much chaos could we be looking at here?
Yeah, it's definitely a potential mess. So the Texans, we'll talk about Hooker in a second. Let's start with the Texans, and that's because that's kind of where you can begin with the potential quarterback chaos. I think from what I've heard, the Texans really like two of those big four, right? But it's not necessarily the 1-2 of Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud. And I think there's a chance if the Carolina Panthers, and this is where this whole the betting favorites come in to play here, when the Carolina Panthers moved to one, C.J. Stroud was overwhelmingly the betting favorite. And then since then, it's kind of crept and evened out where Bryce Young has become more of a factor at that first overall pick. I think there's a chance that if Carolina takes one of the two guys that Houston really likes, maybe Bryce Young, and the Texans don't necessarily like C.J. Stroud, there's a chance that Houston now starts to say, well, you know, we do like this other quarterback. Maybe we don't like him at two. So let's start making phone calls. Maybe we call the Indianapolis Colts and we say, look, you're at four. Maybe you want to move to three to get the quarterback you like. You might as well move to two because, you know, you're still going to put yourself in a position to be leapfrogged if you move to three. So I think right beginning at the top of the draft, after Carolina makes their pick, and it might be C.J. Stroud. You know, Josh McCown made this remark to C.J. Stroud at his pro day about, you know, when you come to Carolina, we'll have to find a basketball court or whatever. People are like, oh, my God, did he just give away the first pick in the draft? Yeah, I mean, there's just the scenario for chaos at the top really sort of it starts with what Carolina does with that pick. But don't assume that Houston automatically is locked into either keeping that number two pick or taking a quarterback at that number two pick. They could see value moving out of that pick. As far as Hendon goes, yeah, I mean, look, the drafts never go the way you think. I would tend to believe 11 is too rich for Hendon Hooker. I would tend to believe you could probably get him a little bit later. You know, I think the Baltimore Ravens at 22 are a team that might be interested in him, kind of depending on where this Lamar Jackson thing goes. They're doing a lot of homework on the quarterbacks right now and putting themselves in a scenario where, hey, draft day, maybe Lamar moves and they're looking for their next starter. I like the fit for Tennessee. You know, the player makes a lot of sense, you know, tools wise, what he would do in that offense. And as long as you're okay where he is health wise and age wise, and you feel like he can be a starter right out of the gate for you, maybe 11's not too rich. But that, though, represents those two guys, and then represents chaos. Bijan Robinson, call around. No one can figure out. They all, like, everybody loves his talent. Nobody has any clue who's willing to spend the pick that matches up with the talent, which is probably top 10 talent. And yet, you don't find many people who believe there's any shot whatsoever that Bijan Robinson's a top 10 pick in this draft simply because he's a running back. But this is, I'm telling you, this is going to be a crazy draft. Reminds me a little bit of the Baker Mayfield draft because I remember the morning of that. People still didn't know whether or not it was going to be Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold at the number one overall pick. And obviously we know the way that went and how terrible the majority of that quarterback class was.
Absolutely. More to say about Lamar Jackson, the Ravens, and other topics to get to with Charles Robinson. Coming up next, Robbie and Rex Show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Talking with Charles Robinson, the great Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, talking NFL as we do in the 8 to 8:30 time frame every Thursday. And Junie Riddle, you have the next question for Charles.
Well, Charles, you touched a little bit on the Lamar Jackson situation with the Ravens. I mean, the interview yesterday with GM Eric DaCosta and head coach John Harbaugh was very awkward. Do you have any of the latest on what's going on in that situation up with the Ravens?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're to the point where they know that there's a chance that they're going to have to deal this guy in draft day. And, you know, at that point, you have to, as you said, it gets really awkward because people start to ask, well, will you take quarterbacks in this draft? And then Eric DaCosta is like, well, you know, we have, when you look at our board and the way it stacks up, we have quarterbacks that are in that top 31. So there's obviously a chance that we can take a quarterback in the first round, all these different things. And, you know, I think it's just to the point where if Lamar could back off of the salary demands, and what he has basically relayed to the franchise is that he feels like so much damage has been done there at this point that he's got to be dealt. And I think the Ravens, if someone would call and say, hey, we've got 3 first-round picks here, let's talk about a deal, they would have that conversation. I think that there's a possibility that when you look at Indianapolis at 4, that is a team that Jim Irsay would be behind acquiring Lamar Jackson. He has come out and said he does not believe in fully guaranteed contracts, but there is enough of an affinity when you look at that coaching staff. You have a ton of from Shane Steichen, the offensive coordinator there, you have a quarterbacks coach, all these staffers that have basically touched RPO quarterbacks and that fit kind of the skill set of what Lamar Jackson brings to the table. I do think there's an element too from Jim Irsay where he's like, okay, we're still gambling here. You know, I want the quarterback situation resolved, but if we take one of these guys at 4, or even if we move up to 3 or even 2, we're taking Anthony Richardson. That's a pretty big, you know, gamble. Will Levis, there's an element of gambling when you look at his last 2 seasons, the disparity and how much he struggled once the surrounding cast changed around Will Levis at Kentucky in 2022. So I do think he would lean into, you know, going and getting a Lamar Jackson, but he has to have that salary situation change, and that's going to be on Lamar. That has to, you know, if Lamar wants out, I think the Ravens have said, well, you're going to have to do some work on your own to be able to bring teams to the table. But I really think it's going to take 3 first-round picks or 2 first-round picks and a significant asset. They're not just going to say, hey, yeah, whoever out there wants to sign them to a contract, we'll take 2 first-round picks in return. They want a bigger return than that. But I think that's why you're starting to see them say publicly, as awkward as it may be, of course, we're starting to look at quarterbacks and we have to protect ourselves ultimately in the long run. And I think they know if this doesn't get resolved, there's every chance in the world that they don't hear from Lamar Jackson until the day before the franchise tag has to be, you know, signed. And I don't even know if there's confidence that he wouldn't necessarily actually sit out in 2023. Nobody really believes it after what happened to Le'Veon Bell sitting out a season, especially given that there's, you know, $32+ million on the table for Lamar. But he's adamant. I mean, absolutely adamant right now that he does not want to be in that franchise anymore.
We're talking to Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports again. Now, Charles, another interesting quarterback situation that's going on in the NFL right now. It has to be the San Francisco 49ers. Brock Purdy getting injured in the NFC Championship with his shoulder, them signing Sam Darnold, and Trey Lance getting injured in the beginning of the season. A lot of reports coming out about Trey Lance and being on the trade market. Do you see him potentially being dealt this offseason? And if so, would the Titans be a potential suitor, considering that Rand Carthon, their new GM, just came from San Francisco?
I don't think there's any chance he's I don't think there's any chance he's not being shopped. Like, I do think he's being shopped because I've already heard, like, hey, 3rd-round pick. And I'm like, where would that come from? Like, where would an actual value on Trey Lance come from unless you've done the work and asked teams, like, what is he kind of worth right now in terms of trade value? 3rd-round pick is insane. I mean, like, given the assets that they ultimately gave up to draft Trey Lance anytime that, you know, you basically move three first round picks to get position and the player doesn't work out. And then you're moving off of him in the direction of a third round pick is really, really ugly. It matches up though with how you when you talk to people in that organization and the confidence that the coaching staff had in how Brock Purdy was running that offense versus how Trey Lance was. There's just very, very little confidence in Trey Lance. I think he feels that. I think he probably would like a fresh start. Not probably. I think he would like a fresh start at this stage. And obviously the Rand Carthon ties, it makes a lot of sense for the Tennessee Titans. The only thing I would say, though, is if you're Rand Carthon and you know what happened, you know how the coaching staff ultimately felt about him, you have to ask yourself, well, does Rand necessarily feel differently? I mean, once he saw him and he understood the functionality of the player, maybe Rand doesn't think that he's the ideal quarterback, you know, to gamble on, even though he was part of, you know, the mechanism that traded all those picks and went and ultimately drafted Trey Lance. So another thing too, that makes me feel like Trey's probably gone is, well, not probably, that he's definitely on the block, is when you talk to people there about Sam Darnold. I know people don't like Sam Darnold, but they will definitely highlight for you his experience, the staffs that he went through prior in his career and how screwed up they were, and the fact that once he kind of got away from the Jets mess, and then on top of that, the Matt Rhule mess, he had some solid games down the stretch last year, and he is a guy who has tools and experience, which leads me to believe, I'm like, when I listen to this, I'm like, huh, if Purdy doesn't come back, like, or if there's some sort of an issue with this elbow and it elongates the return, Sam Darnold probably going to get some starts for the 49ers. And who knows how he plays under Kyle Shanahan? Like, could it be a Geno Smith situation where all of a sudden he becomes a functional player who we thought was just trash at this stage in his career? I hate to use that term, by the way, but I think that's the opinion a lot of teams have of him. Is Trey Lance worth a third round pick? I would say so. Anybody that wants to acquire him, but also I wouldn't doubt that the 49ers are going to hang on to him as long as possible to try and squeeze every asset out of it, because the optics there are an absolute nightmare for the 49ers. But everybody seems to kind of know where this is going.
Yeah, I mean, everybody will be fine when Darnold's a Pro Bowler this year, and they won't complain about the third round pick. That a third round pick for Trey Lance, that's got to be enticing.
But here's the thing: I don't think that's what they're asking for. I think that's what they think is available for him. Like, I think they think that's what this guy's market is now. That it's just because and. What blew my mind when I heard the number, or when I heard that, I'm like, 30? I'm like, you got to be kidding me. And the response to me was, explain to me why he's worth more. That doesn't have anything to do with what the 49ers paid to go and get him. And I thought about it, and I'm like, huh, all right, well, when I actually sit and I look at what he's produced, the number of games he's played, the fact that, you know, he's already been injured, hasn't played a lot of football in a lot of years. Really effectively. I mean, you have to go back how many years now to find, 3 years plus to find when he played a lot of football and made you feel like he was somebody that you wanted to spend all the assets on. It's pretty mind blowing, but yeah, I mean, I can't, there's like a 30 for 30 debate on what exactly happened with Trey Lance, because I've never seen anything like this before. And me personally, I'm like, I don't know, as a staff, there's most of the time I've covered the NFL, like 20 plus years, most staffs would go, we'll carry him around for a while. Like, we can't, the optics of it are too bad. We'll carry him around for a while because we can't flush him for such a little return, and it just looks too horrible. But as you said, Joe, if you get something functionally out of Sam Darnold and Brock Purdy comes back healthy, at that point, nobody's going to care. That fan base can be like, whatever, let's just move on.
Yeah, if you're
like,
winning. Got our team. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Wild. One last thing, Charles. What is there a chance that the Aaron Rodgers deal falls through? And what if it does?
Man, I 99% I would say no, but it's interesting how dug in the Packers are on this whole thing. Like they, you know, I think that the Jets, so where we kind of stand is, and we talked about this before, I think the Jets would be willing to part with 2 second-round picks, a second-round pick next year that could graduate into a first, or maybe a third that could graduate into a second extremely easily, and then a second that could graduate into a first a little bit tougher. So a third that could go to a one, but, you know, with sort of different parameters. And then, you know, the Jets wanted this 2025 give back just in case, a draft pick give back just in case, you know, Rodgers decided I'm out after 2023. Well, they've gotten to the point now where I think the Jets might take less in terms of not needing that 2025 give back. But what they don't want to do, and what the Packers really want, is to get a first-round pick in 2024 with no limitations on it. Just a straight, just, hey, just give us your first in 2024. We'll take a second this year, and we can be done with this. The reason why the Jets don't want to do that is, you know, you're sitting there and you're going, wait, all the risk now is on us. If we give you a first in 2024, what if it's a Matt Stafford situation? What if all of a sudden there's an elbow issue? Or what if he tears his Achilles? And next thing we know, this setup we had, it goes to crap, and now you have, like, Detroit is sitting on the 6th overall pick with the Rams, you know, the Rams pick. That was supposed to be a late 20s, early 30s pick. That's how the Rams assessed it. Well, you know, that's, the Jets are looking at that and we're going, well, yeah, we would assess it if Aaron comes and plays for us in 2023. We would think our 2024 first will be late, but if he hurts himself, maybe it could be number 6. And guess what? Guess what's in next year's draft? Stud quarterbacks. You know, Caleb Williams, Drake May, and I guarantee you there will be a third who we're not necessarily talking about right now who will heat up next season and become part of that, you know, top 5, 6, 7 mix in terms of the NFL drafts, you know, top 5, 6 slots. So the Jets don't want to take on that risk. They're just like, and the Packers are adamant they must. So they're just deadlocked. They're sitting there, and they're not doing anything right now. And so the Jets are sort of like, all right, it's going to take time. We'll take the time. And Aaron Rodgers is backing us, and he's willing to be patient. We're willing to be patient. Eventually, time is going to run out for the Packers, and they're going to have to make a decision, especially on draft day. Okay, well, we would like to have that second-round pick this year to help Jordan Love. And if we don't have it this year, how long are we willing to wait after the draft? Because eventually we got to pay this guy an option bonus of, I don't know, 50-plus million, 50, 54, 58. I don't have the contract right in front of me. But they owe him a boatload of money that they don't want to pay him. It's just like at some point you'll see the narrative will turn and it'll be like, what are the Packers doing? Are they holding Aaron Rodgers hostage? And how long are they willing to ultimately do this? Could it fall apart? He's not there, and I would say that even though the Jets are like 99% we're dealing for this guy, they do have to have that conversation about what's the 1% alternative options. Maybe Ryan Tannehill. Maybe if they swing really, really big, Lamar Jackson. You know, those will be conversations that ultimately will be had probably pre- and post-draft if this really drags on.
Man, we got some fun coming up. Charles Robinson, Yahoo Sports. As always, thank you, my friend. Appreciate it. Talk to you next week.
Appreciate it, Charles.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys. Take care.
Charles Robinson, Yahoo Sports. And we got a lot to react to on that. Come up next, Robbie and Rex. 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back, Robbie and Rex. 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Thanks to Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, which is brought to you by the NFL Alumni Association. Charles, every Thursday, 8 to 8:30, fantastic stuff. Best reporter covering the NFL, brought to you by the NFL Alumni Association. Also, tune in later, as in next segment, for your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click. Win a pair of tickets to a future Preds home game. Pick to Click, brought to you by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. Visit TJAndersonHomes.com to see why they are referred so often. And Superbook Sports, voted number one sportsbook in Vegas. Download their app today. Also, Preds fans, do you want to win tickets in our lower bowl, section 102? Just text the keyword Superbook, all one word, to the game text line, 615-737-1045. 1025, and you will be entered to win. Win with 1025, 1063 The Game, and you can win with Superbook. And Junie, honestly, I need an hour to unpack some of what Charles, you tell me what jumped out at you. That was a jam packed Charles Robinson half hour.
We actually might have some breaking news right now.
What you got?
So Dove Kleiman.
This never. Okay, hold on. Before you say another thing.
Okay.
You know that Dove Kleiman is not like a real person. It's just like a troll who just retweets other people's reporting. I just want to point that out.
Okay.
But go ahead.
Okay. Well, he has broken some stuff before.
What? I don't think that's true.
It's always per Tom Pelissero, per Ian Rappaport.
The ultimate aggregator, but go ahead.
Then I'll hold off on it.
Now I'm going to go to Dove Kleiman's.
Okay. I'll read it out. Wide receiver Tyreek Hill says he's
that's true. Yeah.
Says he's retiring after he finishes contract with the Dolphins and says he wants to move towards the business side.
Yeah, so people who cover the Dolphins have just been tweeting about that, and then Dove Kleiman's like, "Hey, I'm a computer who's going to pretend it was my news." But yes, it is true news and it's worth talking about. Really interesting. So, after 2025, he's done. It's interesting.
Yeah.
You don't see that too often. I mean, I'm trying to think of a precedent for someone saying, like, because sometimes it'll be like, this is my last year, but Tyreek Hill's saying, I'm playing two more years. Or no, actually, wait, no.
One more season.
No, three.
Oh.
No. Yeah. Right, because this will be the 2023 season. So he's saying he's retiring after the 2025. So he's saying, I'm playing the next 3 years and then I'm done. I can't remember
math
anything.
Math is hard.
I think maybe, you know, Tyreek Hill, he's already won a Super Bowl. He's been perennial one of the best wide receivers in the league for the last 4 or 5 years. So, you know, he's getting to that age range. He's probably like, you know, I'm probably going to kind of decrease in value after that and probably don't want to put my body through that in my mid-30s. Yeah. I mean, I get it.
No, I get it. Like, if you told me right now, you know, I could see Tyreek Hill being done after this contract, early 30s. You made a ton of money. Like you said, you got a ring. But it's just interesting for someone to announce that this much in advance of that, right? And, of course, he could change his mind. But we'll see. Other than that, there's a lot of stuff here. First of all, you tell me, like to me, the first thing I need to jump on is if you can get Trey Lance for a third-round pick, I mean,
are you dabbling in on that?
I mean, I have to think about it. No, don't you think you have to think about it?
I mean, you definitely have to think about it. But if you're Rand Carthon, do you have to think about it?
Well, the thing is, I mean, who would be better at of any other GM out there who would make that deal? There's no one better suited to have an inside view of it than the Titans GM, right? I mean, like Charles said, the question is, okay, does Rand Carthon essentially agree with what the Niners coaching staff clearly thinks now, or does he have, I guess, a rosier view of Trey Lance? I mean, look, they gave up a ton to get him. So obviously they thought, and even last year, going into last year, I mean, obviously they're like, this is the guy. And then he gets hurt. And so that's where I look at it. It's like, how do you really know, like, how can you really evaluate him right now based on what we've seen?
It's just tough because in 2019, he had I think it was 26 touchdowns and zero interceptions when he played at North Dakota State. The following year was COVID year. They had that one game, and, I mean, there was no, like, lead-up to it. It was basically trying to showcase him. And he had really no preparation, no practice. It was, like, kind of just really thrown together, you know. It wasn't like you were prepping for a season. It was just, like, it was really odd. Then he comes into the league. You know, he's sitting behind Jimmy G, and then this following year he gets hurt. It's just he's such an unknown commodity, and he hasn't played a full year of football since the 2019 football season. I mean, that's 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah, it's a very strange situation. So, a third round pick for a guy with a lot of talent on a rookie deal. It's interesting.
Sounds like Malik Willis all over again. In a slight way, it's like expending a third round pick on a guy that you're kind of taking a flyer on. That's what he is.
Well,
it's like taking a flyer on somebody.
Trey Lance, even in limited duty, is well beyond Malik Willis. I mean, you can go back and watch. I mean, he didn't play a lot, but he's well beyond Malik Willis. But I understand what you're saying. Texter unnamed. Hey, Joe, remember when I told you Trey Lance sucked and you got heated and responded by analogizing him to Peyton Manning? No. Your boy Robinson just said he wasn't worth more than a third-round pick and said they would flush him. Wonder what he's analogizing him to. First of all, is analogizing? Is analogize a verb? I've never used analogize before.
Way. They found Brock Purdy, right? It's not like they're just, you know, they found their guy. Brock Purdy, you know, performed way out of the expectations that they had for him. Like, people are acting like they're trying to give up Trey Lance to get something for him because they found their guy now. You know, like if Brock Purdy didn't perform the way he did, I don't think the 49ers would just be trying to give him up. I understand
the injuries. Well, Darnold's there too.
And Darnold's there too. But, I mean, I'm on your side with this, Joe. I mean, yeah, we saw they wasted a third-round pick on Malik Willis. But, I mean, the talent for Trey Lance, think about how much the 49ers did just to get him just a couple of years ago. And his level in college and what he's projected to be, I know we haven't been able to see it. And, Junior, you mentioned he hasn't been on the field in a really long time. But, I mean, I love that idea.
It's intriguing. I need to know like when I analogized him to Peyton Manning. I'm trying to think of the comparison other than Peyton Manning had a terrible rookie year.
Maybe that was it.
You know, and he did.
Either way,
they were bad. He was bad. He got better.
I understand that, you know, Trey Lance, Malik Willis, you know, they're different players. Obviously, you can see what Trey Lance has put on film and it's better, but the premise of it is still the same. You're giving up a third-round pick for a quarterback that you're unsure about. You're not going out and trading him saying like, oh, this is our guy. We don't know that about Trey Lance. And I just think that a third-round pick is a pick that you expect to at least be a starter or a role player. I mean, that's a pretty high pick, a really high value. And I just think that after the whole Malik Willis experiment, you know, regardless of if Trey Lance is better than Malik Willis, which we know – I just still think that the Titans shouldn't want to do that unless they are like 100% sold. And when Rand Carthon made the comments about the quarterback situation in San Francisco, he alluded to that they got better every single time that a new quarterback came into the mix, which means that out of Jimmy G, who we know what he is, and Brock Purdy, that Trey Lance was the odd man out between all three of them. So
he played one game, though.
He did, but I'm just...
You're going to get better every single game you play probably in the season, though.
I wouldn't take the flyer. I wouldn't. You took one last year with Malik Willis. It didn't work out. I would look in a different direction.
Yeah, again, I don't love the comparison because, yeah, you spent a third, you know, you drafted a guy with a third-round pick. I mean, it comes down, again, it's a good situation for the Titans because their GM doesn't have to guess, right? So maybe you're right. Maybe that comment by Carthon gave you a little hint that he feels the same way about him, but maybe he doesn't. And that, among many things, can be interesting about this draft. There's a lot more with that, a lot more meat on that bone. Will from Nashville says, yes, that's a verb. That may be, but you know what's also a verb? Compare. Can we just use compare? All right, when we come back, we will have Preds Pick to Click. Robbie and Rex, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. And here we go. Preds Pick to Click. Quick standing update. Robbie has 70. Does that mean Robbie got one? Did he get another one? Robbie has 17.
Did he guess Cody?
God.
Probably.
Listeners 14. I have 11. Michelle has 8. Basically, I mean, you got a weekend game. That won't count this weekend. I think maybe the listeners can tie Robbie. I don't know.
They'd have to go
undefeated. I'd love to see that. I'd love to see Robbie not win. So, Caleb? We've got Caleb on the line, and you've got the pick, Caleb. What have you got, buddy?
Well, I'm going to take Tommy Novak, and I'm going to put a kicker. He does it on the power play tonight.
Man, Tommy Novak. And you know what? Tommy Novak is the clear number one pick, I think, right now.
He's the new Forsberg.
I mean, absolutely. Thank you, Caleb. Tommy Novak for Caleb. And so the order selection, Robbie. Now somehow he's first again. He's always first. Junie, please pick someone who has no chance of scoring a goal for Robbie tonight.
I wish I could do that.
You
but
can.
I have thought.
You can do it.
But, Joe, I thought about this all night. I was like, who am I going to pick in my first and maybe only Preds Pick to Click?
This is your first one?
This is my first one.
I think undercutting Robbie would be an amazing way to debut, but go ahead.
And maybe I will. The chances are not in his favor. But tonight against the Carolina Hurricanes, one of the best teams in the NHL, I look at a veteran to score tonight. So give me Tyson Barrie for tonight. I think he scores.
Tyson Barrie. All right, so we've got Tommy Novak. We got Tyson Barrie. I'm next. This has not worked out for me ever. But you know what? I'm going to keep sticking with it. I'm going to go Luke Evangelista. 77. 77 gets on the board
with the lettuce
tonight. That's right. Yes, good lettuce. And Michelle?
Well, I thought I had a sleeper.
You can still get to double figures before this year's out.
Yeah, true. I thought I had a sleeper with Tyson Barrie, but Junie just pulled the rug out from under me. I'm going to go with Ryan McDonagh tonight. A lot of conversations on just his leadership these last couple of days. I'm going to say Ryan McDonagh puts one in the back of the net tonight.
Two defensemen in Preds pick to click. Man, Cody Glass. No love for Cody Glass. But we'll see. Huge game for the Preds tonight. Carolina Hurricanes. In the playoffs, the Preds are in control of their destiny to make the playoffs. I mean, I think that anybody like Sportsnet or whoever talking about that last playoff spot should at least mention the Preds right now. You know, even though it's of course right now the Jets and the Flames both at 89 points, Preds 86 points, but they have they have an opportunity to go to both of those buildings and get wins coming up after this one tonight. So. To me, if they can get a point tonight, that's that helps. If they can get 2 points out of this game tonight, I mean, boy, you talk about high leverage, high pressure, games for all involved. The next two on the road for the Preds, going to Winnipeg and then going to Calgary.
Now, I would say that Carolina could potentially overlook the Preds, but after like the last week that they've had, beating Vegas, beating Boston, absolutely destroying St. Louis at home. I don't think they're going to be catching anybody off guard. And I think when you look at Carolina and their division and how tight that is and how competitive their division is, probably the most competitive division in the NHL, I think they're going to come in and bring their A game today. It's going to be a tough one for the Preds, but if Saros has one of his iconic games, which he had against Carolina earlier this year when they played in Carolina and he had like the 60-plus saves.
64.
If he has a game like that, man, I mean – this could be huge. This game could be really huge, and when they start going on the road and go into Winnipeg and Calgary, I mean, this could really elevate the confidence of these young guys.
Will from Nashville wanted you to pick Saros. Oh, I wish you would have done that.
We have time to switch it, Junie, if you would like to.
Yeah, that's right. We still have a few minutes before the show ends, so if you'd like to go back and go Saros, we can do that. And by the way, I would expect Saros in net tonight. You know, Lankinen did a great job the other night. Saros has got to be incredible, of course, down the stretch for the Preds to have a chance here. Going back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, a lot of talk, about the draft situation. Will also analogize, yes, it is a word, but we should never use it. And I'd say just made the analogy. Can we just do that? Make the analogy?
I've never heard anybody use that.
No. So Andrew says, the argument for Trey Lance is ridiculous. So y'all are saying you gave $250,000 for a Ford Focus. So me only giving you $75,000 for the used Ford Focus is a good deal for me? No, the 49ers screwed up. And my response is maybe, but again, that's if we know for sure what he is as a player. I don't think we do.
Don't know what these guys are in the draft, right? Wouldn't you rather give up a third-round pick than put a package together, go to third and try to draft an Anthony Richardson, and what if he's a bust? I mean, it's all a gamble.
Right. I mean, I think. Look, I mean, if you can get a quarterback, whatever it is, again, Hendon Hooker, if you can get a quarterback without selling half the farm, that's good. You prefer that. But it still comes down to, and as Andrew agreed on the text line, like I said, we don't know. And he said, yes, but at least one person in Nashville knows, or at least – probably has as good an idea as anybody out there who would consider this deal. So does Rand Carthon have belief in Trey Lance?
I would definitely agree that, giving a third round pick for Trey Lance is better than trading up to number three and taking a flyer on the third guy in this draft. I will definitely say that. But with it being said, I think the Titans, where they are on this roster and what they're going to need to really build it up in the future. They need those assets, regardless of who you draft. It's not going to be worth moving up to number three and take a chance on somebody if you can't complete and fill out the other needs on this roster, because you're just going to put that person in a bad situation. And there's just too many needs for them to do that. So, again, I wouldn't be for going and get Trey Lance. But, again, like we all mentioned, we don't know what he is. Rand Carthon, out of everybody, should. And so that's what it's going to come down to. If he likes him and he takes a flyer on him, then I trust Rand Carthon to make that decision.
I hear the conversation on, not enough supporting cast around your new quarterback. That's a big Jared topic. Agent 31 is big on that. And I hear it. But, sometimes, this is just like you can't always have everything perfect and then bring in the quarterback. Like the timeline just doesn't always work out that way. If you can get the quarterback that you believe is the quarterback, get the quarterback.
I look at high value positions: left tackle, corner, edge rusher, quarterback, and all of those positions are question marks around this team. And I just see that giving up your first and second round picks for the next couple years, it's just rough. It's really hard to do when there's so many key positions that aren't filled out on this team.
We will have more on this the rest of the day. It is Chase and Michelle coming up next. Thank you for listening. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.